Revelation chapter 21, verse 9 through 21. This is the reading of God's word. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were three gates on the east, and three gates on the north, and three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city, and its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with the rod, 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. And he measured its wall, 72 yards, according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the 10th chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, which each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. Because if we just hear, just like non-Christian can come in and hear your word, and it will benefit us nothing. We know that your spirit has to work in us, that he has to make us understand and believe. And not only believe, but obey. Oh, Father, we pray that as we hear your word, that our faith will grow. And with that growing faith, let us witness the reality of heaven that our Lord has accomplished for us. Oh, Father, we thank you for writing your word for us so that we may, through your word, see the reality of our heaven, our eternal home. How we are forever and ever in that glorious place. The reality of our eternal salvation. Oh, Father, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ even as we hear your word. Let us meet him in your word. And let us be glad as you tell us what he has done for us. What he has accomplished for us. Receive all the glory, Father, and pour out your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, from chapter 21 of Revelation, we are looking at the reality of our eternal salvation, the reality of our eternal home. How we will be forever and ever. And that is very, very important. You must know the end, how all this is going to end. That's very, very important, because if you do not know the end, then you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what is your purpose. Verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." Verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Now these verses remind us of chapter 17. And, well, at least remind me of chapter 17. Let us go there, 17 verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." And verse 3, and he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. Very same words, maybe even same angel. But there, in chapter 17, he showed, the angel showed John the great harlot, which was, we saw, this world. But here, on the great and high mountain, we see the bride, another woman, but this time not harlot, but the wife of the Lamb, the true church. But I want you to notice that she is also the holy city, heavenly Jerusalem. Show me that you're cold and I will turn off. So, the whole redemptive history is described in two women. One harlot, the other the wife of Jesus Christ. Now, we saw the harlot and how she will be completely destroyed when Jesus returns. But from verse chapter 21, then we're looking at the other woman, which is the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ, the true church. But she is also described as a city. And this is very, very important. So when you are seeing a city, you are also seeing a bride. Now, this has a very important role as we look at the rest of these verses. Because what you hear is that, you know, when we go to heaven, the streets will be, you know, full of all these jewels and gold and how we're going to be all rich and all that. But that is not the purpose of these verses. These verses are actually showing us the bride of Christ. You are described in these terms. You know, I don't want to disappoint you. But our focus is not that when we go to heaven, there will be so many, you know, diamonds and gold and we're going to be so rich. That's not our focus. That's never our focus. What we're looking at is what Christ has accomplished. How he has made his wife ready. This is your portrait, a picture of you. Now, in verse 2, we saw the same city, but there it said, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. So, you know, God's people are described as a city. God's people are described as a temple. God's people are described as his wife. all kinds of ways that God shows us to give us the fuller picture of who we are. Keep that in mind as we read further. Made ready. Do you see it then in our passage? That God's preparation for her bride is now finished. And all is completely and perfectly accomplished and consummated. Yes, God has justified us and He sanctifies us and He will glorify us. All that God does to save His people is done, finished, and we are looking at the final picture. And it is beautiful, as you will see. Yes, I am beautiful in heaven. Maybe not here, but in heaven. And so are you. Not because we're beautiful people, but because of what Christ has done, what He has accomplished. Yeah. And when we look at this picture here, it is worthy of waiting. You know, we want God to come back so quickly, and sometimes we wish, just like Paul, we could go to Him as soon as possible. But when we look at this picture, yes, it is worthy of waiting. God is preparing His church, preparing His wife. That's what is going on right now. But when that preparation is finished, whoa, the beautiful picture we are looking at. Yes, the holy city, the heavenly Jerusalem, but it is also the bride of the Lamb. Thus, it is a picture of the wife of Jesus Christ who has been resurrected to a glorified body. The holy city is the bride of the Lamb. Thus, the street of the city being pure gold points to the complexion of the bride's skin. It is picture of the bride of God. The city is the glorified church of Christ. Thus, it is a picture of you, your glorious eternal heavenly portrait. We are looking at how we are going to look forever in heaven. Verse 11. Having the glory of God. Oh, that is truly enough. We're looking at the bride of Christ, and what does it say from the very beginning? Having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. The new heavenly Jerusalem equals to the bride of the Lamb, equals to the true church, equals to the true temple. Who we are in Christ, how we are in heaven forever. Do you see it? The image of God is completely and perfect, completely perfected in us. The forever glorious picture of God's people. How are we going to look in heaven forever? The answer, having the glory of God. God's glory will shine through us. These jewels are used for the image how we will shine with the glory of God. Not so much of, oh, we're going to have these jewels when we get to heaven. But these jewels are used to describe the shining glory. That will shine from you. What are we reminded here? Do you remember when the tabernacle was finished? What was tabernacle? Tabernacle was moving temple. And when that was finished, what happened? The Spirit of God filled the tabernacle. And the glory filled the tabernacle so that no one could go in or out. It was just too glorious, too shiny. People could not even approach. The true temple, you and I, who will be like that, but much brighter. Not in terms of worldly shining, but much brighter. And that is what we're looking at here. When temple was finished, same thing happened. The Spirit of God filled the glory in the temple. And the priest could not get in because it was just too much glory. And Jesus Christ has accomplished the true temple, which is you and me. And the Spirit of God filled the glory. And this is what is amazing. When Jesus comes back, that reality will be visible, like what we see here. But that reality is already ours. Yes, you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God lives in you, and He fills the glory in you. But it is hidden until Jesus returns. It's not visible yet, but doesn't mean it's not reality. So that's why, you know, sometimes I wish I could wear sunglasses when I'm preaching to you because you shine too brightly. And I'm not making this up. That is your reality. You're full of His glory. Whenever you walk, God's glory walks. That's who you are. That's how you are. But that will be visible when Jesus returns. Unlike tabernacle and temple of the Old Testament, no longer a type, but our eternal reality. Now in our passage, it is perfectly consummated visibly. Who will shine God's glory forever and ever? And it says, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. See, words cannot explain, describe perfectly this brilliance that will shine. But God gave us idea, jasper. And this is not just typical jasper, because jasper is not crystal clear. It's a heavenly jasper. But her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. So the brilliance is described in jewels, precious stones, crystals. Wait a minute. We heard these words before. Go to chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 2. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. What does John see here? John sees God Himself. He sees the throne and he sees God sitting on the throne. And let's see how that God is described. Verse 3. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. And verse 6a. And before the throne was there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. We saw these people before. Do you remember when we saw God in chapter 4? His glory was described with these stones. Jasper, crystal. But we're not looking at God in our passage. We're looking at us. The image of God is perfected in us. We look like God. Do you see it? The same jewels were used to describe God and His glory. Yes, brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ, in our passage, we see the church of God. And the church of God is like God. All of God's communicable attributes, we learned this Friday, are perfectly accomplished in us, in His people. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, "For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." Matthew chapter 13, verse 43, "Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Jesus also taught us that in heaven we will shine like sun. But in chapter 1 of Revelation, Jesus Himself was described as sun. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, "Those who have insight, Christians, will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead the many to righteousness, you, like the stars, you will shine forever and ever." These jewels point to the glory of God shining. Thus, what we see in our passage is that of the church of Christ is just like her glorious Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2b, "We know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is." And that promise is completely consummated in our passage. We will be like Him. This is how our end is look like. Don't be discouraged. I'm not. Because I'm ugly, because I'm beautiful in Christ. I'm going to be beautiful forever. I will shine. The glory of God will shine from me. And you have to go like this to pass by me. Man, the glorious, glorious picture He shows us. Our salvation is indeed amazing. You and I are going to be glorious forever. And it is already our spiritual reality in Christ. And we must know who we are. We are the bride of God who will shine His glory forever and ever. You know, I'm married to my wife for what, 17 or 18 years? Oh, don't tell him, I'm not sure, you know, exactly. But more and more we live, you know, people say, "You guys look alike." And I thought that was biblical truth. His wife, me, and my husband, Jesus, we're going to look alike forever. It is truly beautiful, truly glorious. Now verses 12 and 13 continues to show us this beautiful bride of God. And let's continue. Verse 12, "It had a great and high wall." Now a bride of God is described in terms of building, in terms of city. But it's still bride of God. It's you. You have to always remember that. Don't just think that, you know, it's describing city and you go, oh, that's going to be heaven and I'm going to live in this, you know, big wall. Don't think like that. That's not what God is doing. It's describing you. Right? Because it's not just city, it's pride. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, and 3 gates on the north, and 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. The bride of the Lamb, the true church, is then the true Israel. Because this bride is described in terms of city, but it's also described in terms of 12 tribes of Israel. What are we looking at? Is it, God has done this all the time in Book of Revelation, right? He was describing heavenly reality in terms of Old Testament language. But here you have to understand that the true church is true Israel. That's why James, let me read to you, James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, he writes to church, no longer Israel, but look at what he says. To the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. He describes the church of Christ as the 12 tribes. It is described in the terms of Old Testament Israel. There are 3 gates on the east, the west, the north, and the south. And verse 25 says that in the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed. So those gates are always open. You know, when does gate closes? Night. So never open shows that there is no night there. Now, this is all symbolical language, and we're going to get to all that. But Genesis 28, verse 14 says, your descendants, which is Abraham's descendants, which is true church, ultimately, will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The north, the south, the west, and the east, the 4 corners of the world, the people from all over the world are coming into this city. Jesus purchased for God with his blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That is the reality that we're looking at. This city, this bride, is made up of people from all parts of the world. Verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The wall had 12 foundation stones, and each stone has what? The name of the 12 apostles. One name per one foundation stone. What are we looking at? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 20. It's describing, again, the true temple, God's people. But Ephesians chapter 20 says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So here the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophet. Now, foundation of the apostle and the prophet, what are we talking about? Who are these people, apostles and prophets? They are the ones who write the Bible. New Testament apostles, they write the Bible. Old Testament prophets. So when we say the foundation of the apostles and prophets, what are we talking about? The Word of God. So this bride, the foundational stones, are the foundation of the apostles. It's the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ. The foundation of the apostles and the prophet is equal to Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building, according to the grace of God which was given to me. Like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So here, 12 tribes and the 12 apostles are representing Old Testament and the New Testament people of God. And here we see a beautiful picture how the Old Testament people of God and the New Testament people of God are one people of God. The dispensationalists claiming that Old Testament Israel and the New Testament church are two separate peoples of God is absolutely wrong. You might hear that kind of stuff. If you are confused of that, come to me. We'll have a Bible study and I will explain. There are some people, some Christians who think that the Old Testament Israel and the New Testament church are completely separate, two peoples of God. And God deals these two peoples of God differently. That is not what the Bible teaches. We are one people of God. Verse 15 through 17. The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square and its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with the rod. 1,500 miles its length and the width and the height are equal. And he measured its wall 72 yards according to human measurements and which are also angelic measurements. Now here, the new heavenly Jerusalem is a square. Its length and width and height are equal. It's a cube. And 1,500 miles or 12,000 stadia. That's the original language. 12,000 stadia. And they convert that into 1,500 miles. And I don't know if that's correct or not, but 1,500 miles, that's pretty long, pretty big city here. But it's a cube. The whole heaven is a cube. What does that show? Go to 1 Kings. Bible has to interpret the Bible. 1 Kings, chapter 6. Now, this is about Solomon building the temple of the Old Testament. Chapter 6, verse 20. The inner sanctuary, which we call the Holy of Holies. There were two sanctuaries, right? The Holies and the inner one was the Holy of Holies, right? Now that's where God meets his people, the Holy of Holies. inner sanctuary was 20 cubits in length, 20 cubits in width, and 20 cubits in, cubits in height. And he overlaid it with pure gold. He also overlaid the altar with cedar. Now the Holy of Holies of the temple is a cube. So what are we seeing? The entire heaven is the Holy of Holies. Thus, God is with his people everywhere in the city. Because in the Holy of Holies, God met his people in the Old Testament. His people are able to meet with God everywhere in the city. The whole city is the temple of God. And we will see this more detail next time, because the other verses following will describe it a little bit more. Yes, his people are the temple of God. And 1,200 stadia. You remember that number 1,200? We saw this number before, chapter 7 of Revelation. Let's go there, chapter 7, verse 4 and 5. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. And verse 5, from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. And from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. So he will list 12 tribes. Each tribe have 12,000 people. Now it's a symbolical number. So in heaven, the total number of people are described with this symbolical number, 144,000 people. Now obviously, and we really hope that in heaven there are more than 144,000 people. Because if there's only 144,000, then the probability of you and I being there, it will be very slim. It's a symbolical number. 12 Old Testament people, 12 tribes, 12 apostles, 12 times 12, 144, and 1,000 means a lot of people. But see, each 12 tribe had 12,000 people. And here, the measurement is 12,000 stadia. Each tribe. So 12 points to the people of God, and 1,000 shows that there are many. A cube has 6 square sides and 12 edges. And each edge, it says, is 12,000 stadia. So you add all that up, it will be 144,000. All of God's people are represented here in this temple of God, heaven. You are the temple of God. Now, these numbers tell us that a definite number is set by God before the foundation of the universe. Yes, 144,000 or 12,000, these numbers are symbolical, but it still tells us that there is definite number that God has chosen. And he has chosen us before the foundation of the universe. So it's not like God's people, we work harder, we could save a little bit more. No. That is not what the Bible teaches. Yeah, God wanted to save, 10,000, but if we try a little bit harder, we could save 20,000. Come on. You think too high of yourselves. God's will not change. And being measured, we saw in chapter 11, it shows that whatever is measured is protected. Verse 12a, it had a great and high wall. And at each gate, there is an angel. This reminds of a cherubim who was protecting the way to the tree of life in Genesis chapter 3. Or is it 2? 3. The great and high wall, this shows the protection. Zechariah chapter 2 verse 5. We see another picture of heaven there, Zechariah. Chapter 2 verse 5, and this is what we read there. For I declares the Lord, I will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. So here God is describing himself as a firewall, holy God, so that nothing unclean can come in. Verse 27 of our chapter tells us that, and nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it. But not only they cannot come in, but another way of looking at that is that we are protected and separated from all that is against God. And that this is our present spiritual reality. People can kill our body, but they cannot harm our spirits. Your spirits are completely protected. Now let's look at verse 18 through 21 and try to wrap this up. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. And it describes 12 foundation stones. And you go down to verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. 12 foundation stones, 12 jewels. Now, these 12 jewels, we saw this before. When do we see this? Exodus 28. The breastplate of the high priest had 12 stones or 12 jewels. And on those 12 jewels, the 12 names of the 12 tribes of Israel. So with his breastplate, 12 stones, and each tribe name was on each stone. So when he, high priest, goes into the Holy of Holies, he represents all people of God. See, in the Old Testament, only one person once a year can go into the Holy of Holies. And that's where God meets his people. In the Old Testament, it clearly shows how difficult it is for a sinner to meet God. But now, what do we see in our passage? All of us, we are the Holy of Holies. We meet God directly. Because of what Christ has done, it's constant, forever meeting with God. That is our heavenly reality. But anyway, these 12 stones, but here we have 12 apostles. So here again, all of God's people are presented, represented. But what does these stones really points to? Well, we already talked about it before. Stones points to the brilliance, the glory. But let's look at some Old Testament verses to figure this out more clearly. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Verse 12. The Son of Man take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and said to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of protection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Ruby, topaz, the diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, and so on. And the gold, the workmanship of your setting and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the high mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stone of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as a profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. What are we looking at there? Here, the king Tyre's arrogance and then his fall are described as fall from the righteousness that Adam had before the fall. See, look at what God is doing in this passage. He's telling us of this King Tyre, and he became arrogant, even though God made him, you know, blessed him with all these things, but he became arrogant and he sinned. But God is describing King Tyre's fall in terms of Adam's fall. And he's describing the righteousness of Adam with these 12 stones, 12 jewels. A few jewels are translated differently, but we believe that they are the same jewels. Then in our passage, then these jewels are used to describe the righteousness that the bride of the Lamb has forever and ever. In Ezekiel 28, these stones, 12 stones, are describing the righteousness of Adam. So we bring that understanding to our passage, and what are we looking at? We're looking at our own picture, but we are righteous. Because our appearance, which is the city, which is the temple, which is the bride, our appearance is described with these 12 stones. Then in our passage then, these jewels are used to describe the righteousness that the bride of the Lamb has forever and ever. Yes, the bride of the Lamb, the church of Christ, you and me are not only glorious, but we are also righteous. I got the signal. Brothers and sisters, this is how we are in heaven forever. Glory upon glory. This is our eternal heavenly reality in Christ Jesus our Lord. You and I, who are the bride of the Lamb, the true church, are the masterpiece of the God Almighty. There's nothing that He made or created that is more brilliant than you and me. Yes, this is the work of God. And He is working in you, even today, to make you this way. That is what your life is all about. Whatever that happens in your life, you have to understand that's God's way of making you this way. You have to trust Him. He knows what He is doing. He already shows you the final picture. He lets you know what He is doing, what He is accomplishing. And sometimes you really wonder, you know, why? Why this happens, or why this, or why that? But trust Him. He will make you like Him. That is His promise. Thus, as we see the final picture, how we are going to be forever, let us endure with joy. look at your portrait in heaven and be very, very happy. Because spiritually, this is who you are already. This is how you are already in heaven. But that you are already that, but when Jesus returns, it will be visible for everyone to see. But you and I, we already see it with our faith, through the Word. We already see how we are in Christ. And this is our joy. It's not about this world. Because this world will be completely destroyed. Eternal life, eternal salvation is about heaven. It's our forever life in heaven, not in this world. That's why God said, whoever has this hope, this faith in Christ will, what? Purify himself. If you want to live a godly life, you must have hope on heavenly realities. It is just a beautiful picture. Yeah. You know, I could go back home and, you know, flip those album pages and see my pictures from, like, my young age. And they're not that beautiful. But when I open heavenly album and find myself in it, it is really beautiful. Because it's the work of Christ. Be very happy today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are our God who loves us. And that you are in us, working in us even today to make us more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We have your promise that you will finish this work. You will complete this work. And one day when Jesus returns, it will all be visible for everyone to see. That we will be revealed just as Christ will reveal in glory. Oh Father, you have told us to set our minds upon the things above. Let us do that, always hoping, always setting our minds upon the things above where our Lord is seated at the right hand of God. That's where we belong. And who we are over there is what we are forever. And we like it. We love it. We're so happy when you have shown us how we will be forever. We thank you, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.